You know, she
maybe it'll be better in the second act, but it never is.
She tends to ramble, I think. You know what I mean?
I do, but I ramble intelligently.
Okay, here we go. Okay.
We started, right? Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Hi there, welcome to episode number 29 of Theater Geeks. This episode also includes a special guest who was with us for the previous episode, Kevin M. Reese, a playwright from Wichita, Kansas area, who also writes largely plays for children. And as we were talking during the last episode, we got to thinking that, you know, there's sort of a topic that we could explore, which is, we were trying to compare theater for children and theater with children involved, as the actual actors, and what are the differences, and what are the challenges, and how do those differ? And so, you know, you write largely, Kevin, for plays that are usually done by adults, although other students, but usually if it's a play that's for like 6 or 8 year olds, obviously it's older kids that are performing or adults are performing, right?
Right. A lot of shows are done high school theater groups, mm-hmm. middle school theater groups, and then they'll perform for the area elementary schools.
Right.
That type of a thing. But generally, my customers are professional children's theaters who have a season that the kids are brought into the theater. So it's usually adults performing for kids.
Well, what about a theater troupe that wants to do this for the first time for young kids? What are the first things that they have to think about that your professional troupes probably know?
As far as how they...
And how to approach it and how to perform it and how to produce. I mean, you know, knowing that they are approaching an audience they've never approached before.
For years, they fought the notion, you know, you hear the old stories, actors do children's theater because they can't get a real theater job.
Right.
And to me, I do children's theater because that's what I want to do. So I think that a children's theater who is just starting out, their philosophy should already be to the point where this is what they want to do. So a lot of the kinks should already be worked out because they have a philosophy of why they're starting a children's theater.
If a community theater, you know, like ours or like many that have traditionally done quote unquote adult oriented shows, suddenly says, you know, there's a market or there's an interest or whatever in something for children, and we could expand our that was Marcia's iPhone just went off and she took a picture.
I had to take a picture of Kevin because it's been 30 years since I've seen him.
Okay. I guess the question is, you know, assuming that theater is saying, okay, we want to do this, and they're essentially flat-footed in terms of what they know about it, what do they have to do?
As a publisher and a business owner of KMR Scripts, I'd say KMR Scripts plays are the perfect ones for you to do because our website is full of all kinds of help for theaters on what to do and what to think about and things. But I often have new theaters that are saying, we're starting a children's theater and we like your plays and we want to start doing it. And so I'll visit with them to find out why they're starting it. Is it because you think you're going to start making money the first year and you're – because I think any theater is really dumb not to have an audience development program, children's theater, performing for kids to teach them how to be audience members,
right,
for one thing, and how to appreciate live theater versus SpongeBob SquarePants and movies, and because they're whole different mediums.
You were talking about the developing the audience skills, and actually part of the show, in essence, is instructions, right?
Right. In my scripts, there's a section in the director's script. It's the pre-show. And when the audience is sitting down, before the show starts, someone usually comes out and introduces themselves and makes the kids laugh and says, there are rules in school, there are rules in church, there are rules everywhere. There's also rules in theater. You don't in theater, do you talk to your neighbor? No, because you're going to miss stuff. But there are times in the show when someone might ask you a question, then it's okay for you to talk to them, okay? Yeah. Can you applaud during a song? After the song? Yeah, yeah. Is it okay to laugh when something's funny? Sure it is. Yeah. So we let them know that certain behavior is okay because there's no rewind button in live theater, so you have to
right.
be quiet. All those kind of things. And then once they it's like animals, when they know where the fence is, the boundary that they have a great time. But if they don't know where those boundaries are, how are we supposed to act? I don't know.
But
we let them know what they can do, and then they just have a great time.
You've been doing this for so long now. Has that lesson become harder to teach?
My problem is no. New theaters grasp that and they go with it. My problem is the theaters that have been around for a while. They assume their audiences already know that. Our audiences are very sophisticated.
Yeah, right. 6-year-olds.
We already know it. So I'll sit in the audience, and you know the first song will come, and nobody applauds.
Yeah, they've been 6 years.
Or I start the applause, and it's like, yeah. If they had a pre-show, 90% of the time, if they do a pre-show, they'll get applause after a song because it's in the mindset of the kids.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you have to teach the kids. Okay, you're not sitting in front of a TV. You're in an audience with other members, with live actors who can hear you if you are talking to your neighbor, and sometimes what you do as an audience member affects the performance.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to realize that too, and those are lessons that, boy, you go to some high school productions and they haven't learned that at all.
Mm-hmm. How do
no
you
kidding?
How do you handle the actors? Is the directing structure or the how you direct actors for children's theater different than how you direct actors for an adult oriented show?
Once they understand that their audience is, you know, 6, 7, 8 year olds, it's pretty okay. There's a concept in theater, the willing suspension of disbelief, where you're sitting there at an audience and you're watching a show about Spider-Man. You know, this isn't true. I mean, there's right. nobody can do that. But, you know, for the sake of our hour here or our 2 hours here, let's assume that, yeah, it's possible. And so you let yourself get involved and enveloped in the story. That's, mm-hmm. You're willingly suspending your natural inclination to disbelieve this amazing stuff. While children, their willing suspension of disbelief is leagues above any adults.
Their threshold is a lot lower, in other words.
Because, I mean, you know, Santa Claus, the Tooth Fairy, we won't get into reality, but, I mean, they allow themselves to get into different degrees of reality for the sake of that experience of being in that degree of reality.
Right.
So when Little Red Riding Hood is talking to the kids, they know there's no Little Red Riding Hood, but man, they're in it right now.
Yeah, sure.
And so I tell actors, if what you're doing is when you're performing for kids, you've got their imagination in your hands, and you're saying, I'm going to tell you a great story, and I'm going to take you places that you haven't thought about. You're going to experience some things that you've never experienced. But you have to trust me, and I'll take very good care of your imagination. And sometimes something will happen in a performance where an actor will forget a line, they'll break character, or anything, and it's like, bam, oh, sorry, you know. And it takes a while for the kids to trust you again, to get
right,
that
right.
for them to do it. So they, as actors for kids, you are a guardian of their imagination. And so you have to, first of all, realize that their imaginations are way above you, but you also have to be in the mindset of you are playing with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
You're not performing at the kids, because they pick up on that real fast.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's why...
almost a lecture kind of notion, if you're not careful.
It's almost what?
When they feel like they're being lectured to, or like acted at, or lectured to, it's, you know, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, Sunday school, a very bad storyteller in Sunday school telling, you know, the story of Noah and the Ark. But you get a good actor who can relate to the kids. It's magic.
Yeah.
And the kids just take off on that.
That's what I think, too. I had done some programs in schools myself in the past. And it seems to me that you get such the reaction that kids give you, or the if when they're involved, it's a very intense kind of interaction between the performer and the audience. Okay. More so in many ways than you get from adults who are more jaded. And I think that's a real magical thing for, and I think that maybe, do you find that sometimes adult performers in children's theater aren't quite ready for that? Or they're shocked by that or surprised by it? I think I was.
Those who have not aren't used to performing for kids, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, they're used to, you know, hi, boys and girls. We're going to do the story of Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah, right.
Oh, this is such a sweet story. As opposed to, okay, this is great. Okay, you guys know the story, right? I mean, you lead the kids to where you're going to take them, and they will follow you. If you try and pull them, they're going to resist.
Right.
And if you go there and say, come on, they may not follow you.
Well, it's so about acting from a truthful place.
Yeah.
I mean, kids know when it's not truthful. I mean, they can smell it, you know, a mile away. So a performer who performs at them instead of with them or for them is it's just not truthful.
And there's a heart thing too. Kids understand where an actor is coming from. That's why I say I much prefer a not so good actor who can really relate to kids over a wonderful actor who doesn't have that connection with kids, because the children, their willing suspension of disbelief takes into account the acting level of the actor. And so if they know he's trying and that actor is in character, he just doesn't have the skill set that another actor would, that kid will follow him almost anywhere. But when he gets to a really good actor who is condescending and patronizing, they'll resist that. That's my experience.
So how do you know when you get one that you want as opposed to one that you don't want?
That would be audition
you
tricks.
Can tell all that.
Oh yeah, I mean when you have an audition, you can tell within 15 seconds of a song whether somebody has, you know, what their skill level is for a song, or when they're doing a monologue. I mean, you know, I mean there are certain things that you can't tell how well they handle stress and that kind of stuff, but their skill level, that's right. Pretty obvious. And so in what I do, I can sit in on an audition, and I can just a lot of my auditions when I do any casting is back and forth with the actor, just interpersonally, and I can tell how do they treat me and how they will treat kids.
Is this because you're a big kid, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like you said before.
Yeah.
How important is music in children's theater? And we already talked about this kind of off mic here, but I think that you were saying earlier that musicals tend to be pretty, they're strong, obviously.
Yeah. When I talk to theater producers and they're trying to set up a season, I've got a couple of theaters that only do my shows.
Mm-hmm.
They only do my plays, and that's not healthy. You have to have a variety of
right.
of plays. For one thing, when they do other plays, they'll realize how good my shows are. And then they'll also, I mean, the Wichita Children's Theater, they do between 10 and 15 shows of mine every year. And every other year they'll do one other show for the programming for this age group, for the young kids. And there have been years, and it's been this way for 15 years. They have a certain style of performance and a certain type of shows that they present to those children, and that's what they're comfortable with. So a new theater, I would counsel them to have musicals and non-musicals, different styles, melodramas, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other theaters. Express Theater in Houston's been doing shows for 40 years, and they want my style of theater for a couple of their slots. And they do a lot of multicultural, multilingual shows, and they've got a real diverse program.
Right.
So yeah, but when I first started writing, my shows were all musicals because that's what the Wichita Children's Theater did.
Oh, okay.
So that's who I wrote it. And the songs, I personally think songs are fun. It breaks up the monotony of it. It gets you can tell the kids' attentions when there's a stretch of dialogue and then a song starts. You get their attention back.
Well, from an educate, I mean, I used to do some educational things, and from a memorability standpoint, it seems that's a very positive thing. Music is remembered. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll walk out maybe singing one of the songs or remembering that because of the rhythm and the repetition or et cetera. And I don't know. I mean, but you don't think it takes away from the story or the non-musical aspect of the script?
No, for children especially, no, because they're willing to suspension disbelief. They're not thinking who breaks out into a song here.
Mm-hmm.
And the songs in my shows further the plot. I have no songs for the because
it's time for a song.
Yeah, there needs to be a song here, and I don't do ballads. Mm-hmm. My songs are pretty much all up tempo. Some of my earlier things, I had a love song for between a beauty and her father when he was leaving, and I don't do that anymore though. But yeah, there are certain skills. Audience member skills that can be learned by doing a musical and by doing a non-musical, and those are important. But some theaters just don't do musicals,
right? And they probably should, yeah. At least a certain amount of mix, yeah. What how does performing for kids, and I'm talking from the standpoint of a theater or a directorial level. How can that translate? How do the skills that you have there translate to actually having children performers, child performers, youth performers? Is there a relationship there, or is it kind of a different animal?
I don't understand your question.
I don't either.
Well, I was lost too.
Sorry, David.
But you have adults performing for kids, okay? But if you have youth theater. They are performing for kids. They may be performing for their families as well. And this may be happening with your children's theater as well. But what are the differences there in terms of how you deal with the actors? That's where I'm going.
As a director?
Yeah, as a director and as a theater company, essentially.
As a director on my end of everything, I treat the kids no different than I would if I were working with adults. In fact, I thought it was interesting how you were talking about, Kevin, how you're talking about setting ground rules up front and how people need boundaries. And I after that process with kids going to see live theater, they come to do shows with me and we have boundaries.
Yeah.
You know, our first rehearsal is spent talking about boundaries. But Dave, I know you've said that even with your adults, when you're directing show, you have a lot of times at your first rehearsal, you set boundaries.
Right. Yeah.
And because people then know where their fence is that they can play inside.
But you have more? I mean, isn't there's a more of a training process for youth actors than there would be for adult actors?
Maybe
it's the same.
I don't know. What do you think, Kevin? I think there's initial training. It's just like anything, and then after that, it's the same process. You know, teach them how to play. Kids actually know how to play sometimes better than adults. Sometimes you have to reteach adults how to play.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Whereas kids are just sponges. They're ready to play.
The acting, I mean, the acting chops have to be the same for no matter who you're performing for.
Right.
The only thing that I can imagine is having kids get ready to perform for kids, because when they're performing for mom and dad, they're performing for mom and dad.
Right.
But when they're performing for kids, they don't have the isn't he cute thing to rely on.
Right. No.
I think they have to be stronger in their acting skills when they're performing for their peers.
Now with youth theater, though, I mean, we don't really expect them to have the same acting chops as adults do necessarily. Although some of them are pretty darn good.
We would expect them to have the same acting chops as an adult who is at that level of experience, who have done that many plays for that many years.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah,
sure.
But there are some child actors who they can't learn the lines very well. They don't handle stress very well. They get stage fright and don't have the skill set to handle that. But boy, they're so adorable. And when they say the line, they believe what they're saying. And, oh, wow. That's
right.
Miles above what some.
And maybe those are the kids that you are, it's worth the time to get them through the other stuff. But I mean, I have adults like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, where, you know, he's absolutely right for this. And even though we got trouble, I'll drag him through him or her through this show to get them to the point where they need to be. So,
and different directors are, I mean, there's some directors, their job is not to develop an actor. Their job is to produce the best play for the audience.
Right. Yeah.
And
in community theater, we kind of balance that. We kind of have to balance that a little bit. So, okay. All right. Well, that is all time we have today for this episode of Theater Geeks. It is, believe it or not, we are actually recording on New Year's Day, so some of us are sort of recovering from partying. I'm not talking hangovers here, but we are, it's the first day of the new year, and some of us were up a little bit late last night. Anyhow.
I've been at work already today.
You've been at work already today. Yeah. That's true. You have been. So thanks for joining us, Kevin. And please be sure to stop by the website at theatergeeks.com. Check out the Theater Geeks store. We'll have a link to Kevin's playwriting business and his plays, etc., on the show notes. And that's all for now. Thanks. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Cho.
I'm Marcia Fulmer. We are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.